Praise the Lord. John 3:16. And let's read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And so we just keep reiterating this from our past lessons, that you can't love like God loves. And you can't love like Jesus, like he loves, unless you have his nature in you. And we read from the scriptures that we said, we know we love the brethren because we've what? We've passed from death unto life. And so we've passed out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we have this ability now. It's in us, just like he said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. So it's in there. And so we keep praying to God for love, and we keep praying to God for peace, and we keep praying for these things, and they're already in us. So we just have to just begin to accept it, receive it. That's what a minister shared, you know, in order to keep the switch of faith, this was what Brother Hagin said, you've got to believe that you have it. What does that mean? That I've received it. It's in me, love is in me, peace is in me, and now because it's in me, I have to believe that. And once I believe it, then I say, it's working in me. Love is working in me, peace is working in me, joy is working in me. And these things are working in me, and they empower me to do what? To love, to have peace. It empowers me to walk in that. And so it's a matter of believing that I have it. Sometimes we get consumed with the things of life, the things that we're faced with, and they're smack right there, and they're talking. You know how they do? And they're talking loud. And we do what? We respond accordingly sometimes, in kind. And so we respond in kind rather than just holding up a second and just saying, wait a minute, we all do. You know, every one of us, if you're in this flesh, you know, that's why Brother Hagin kept harping on it for 60 years. You need to be more God inside minded. How do you do that? That you're built up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So sometimes I'm finding we get so busy, we don't pray in the Holy Ghost enough. And so what happens is when we pray in the Holy Ghost, our faith is stirred. What did he used to say? You know, some of the translations say, your spirit is charged or energized like what? A battery. So your faith is charged. Your faith is stirred up. And it's not that it's increasing. Faith comes by hearing, but your faith is charged by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so I remember Pastor Hagin's sister, she shared that, you know, somebody asked her one time, you know, you grew up in your dad's house. What are some significant things you can, remind us or share with us? And she said that her dad, this is Kenneth E. Hagin, shared with her that when you go through hard times, pray more in the Holy Ghost and say less. That's a big task right there. Pray more in the Holy Ghost and say less, and only say the things that the Holy Spirit, prompts you to say. So we're all learning that. Speak less, pray more. Pray more what? In the Holy Ghost. And then he will do what? Empower you, charge you to do what? Face those issues in life. And so let's turn to John 13. Let's go over there. This is our, this is our orders here. This is our command. I wasn't in the armed service, but there's one person here I can look at. He was in the armed services. He was an MP. That means a military police. He's smiling. and doing this. He's waving at me there, right? I'm sure as a military police, he gave out orders. You know, go over here, do this, do that. But then in order to give out orders, he had to get orders. He had to get some marching commands, right? And so here's the thing. Jesus gave us a command. And he gave us a command as to the Father, from the Father. What did he say? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. What does that mean? If we don't have love one to another, that means they're not going to know. They're going to look at them and say, that is one raggedy bunch. They're not going to know that we're his disciples, because it's conditional, isn't it? It's saying if. So if we don't walk in love one to another, then it means they're not going to know we're his disciples. They're going to have something else to say, aren't they? That's the truth. So just flip over a couple of pages in your Bible. Go over to John 17 and just look. I'm thinking of this scripture when he shared this in John 13, 34, and 35. But I'm just thinking of this scripture as I'm sharing this. Look at verse 23. I mean, we could go down a lot more scripture, but let's just look at verse 23. It says, I'm reading from the King James. It says, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Who's going to know that? The world. That's what made me think of that. The world's going to know that what? You loved them. Thou hast loved them as you love them as you've loved Jesus. So that means we're in good company, aren't we? That means the Father loves us just as much as he loved Jesus. Yeah, that's something, isn't it? So next time you get in a fix, just remind yourself that, thank you, Father, you love me just as much as you did your son. Let's go back to John 14. And I'm just thinking of something here that we shared in past lessons that I'm kind of reminded of. You can go to John 14, 21. But I'm just reminded that, you know, as many times as Brother Hagin came here, Kenneth E. Hagin, I think it was somewhere around 8 or 9 times that he came to Redeeming Love Christian Center while he was alive. He came back and he came in, I believe it was 85, I know that, and then a number of times forward. I know he came in Hackensack because he always used to kid. He said, you know, the Utterbacks from Hackensack. That was his little catchphrase. He'd say, I'm going to see the Utterbacks from Hackensack. And so I remember when he came down in Hackensack to the Ori Denor Theater, and we had a campaign there. But that was back in 85. And so a number of times, but my point in all saying that, not the number of times he came, but when he came the last few times here, as many times as he did a Holy Ghost meeting for two straight weeks, and he did all of these meetings, but his last times he came, he kept highlighting on the love of God. And I really have this prompting to go pull out an archive and listen to those messages. Because here you had a prophet of God in ministry 60 plus years, 65, 66 years, teaching here, and I've been getting this pull lately that God's been pulling me. Go pull those out and listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to what he said. And if any of you have those tapes, You may want to go back and listen to them. But he said something. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He said, he went on to say that if you read it every day and walk in the God kind of love, he said that number one, you will find sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. This was number one. Number two, he said, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. That's James 4, isn't it? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee. Resist says submit yourself to what? Love. Submit yourself to love. And then number three, he said, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. So he just said those three things. Things about your health, things about your provision, and things about how the devil might have been influencing or harassing you. He'll flee. So, John 14 and verse 21. I know we went over this, but I want to look at it again. John 14, verse 21, 22, and 23 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The New Living, it says that I will love them and reveal myself. So that manifest or reveal myself. And the Message, I like this, it says, I will love him and make myself plain to him. That's another way of saying it. The Amplified, it says that I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. So he's going to talk about manifesting, making myself plain, making myself real to each one of us, right? And I really like the Passion Translation. It says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Boy, that's a whole different presentation of that. He'll manifest his life in you, within you. That's different, isn't it? Than just saying, well, I'll manifest myself. Sometimes we think, well, that's nice. No, he's saying he's going to manifest his life within you as we obey his commandments. And I'm going to continue in the Passion Translation. It says, then one of his disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that just set me on fire Sunday. I'm telling you. Loving me empowers you to obey my word. Boy. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. So as we love God, he will empower us to act upon his word. That's really what he's saying. As we love him and obey him, he'll empower us to do it. Some of us are saying, well, I can't do that. But you've got to first take a step. And then what happens? He empowers you to do it. He empowers you to, as he said, empowers you to obey my word. Loving him means you're acting upon his word. By what? By faith. And as you do, he empowers you to do it. Amen. So this scripture really excited me. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13. I've been doing readings from different translations, but I want to read this from the Passion Translation, these 13 verses. This is another paraphrase. But 1 Corinthians, you follow along. Verse 1, it says, "If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possess unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I owned to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten." Boy, that's an interesting way of putting that. "Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now. But one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run." That's good. So, you know, when it talks about love, love is above our reasoning. Let not reason have the preeminence. You know, a lot of times we yield to our reason about things. Reason in this flesh, unless it's renewed, is selfish. Reasoning is selfish. And so love needs to do what? Have the preeminence. It needs to be above our reasoning. We need to let reasoning actually be the servant of love, that it's submitted to it. And you know, what's interesting is that when we read these scriptures, and again, going back and looking at 1 Corinthians 13, when it says, if I were so generous to give everything I owned to feed the poor, you know, you could give like Warren Buffett, a billionaire. You could give everything you have to feed the poor. And it says here that if the motive wasn't love, it says, I would gain nothing of value, meaning you could give it all away. You'd profit nothing. So that's why I, you know, sometimes we need to hear something over and over again. Sometimes you may know it already. You may know it in your reason, and you say, yeah, I already know that, but is it in your heart? Do you really grasp that in your heart and not just your reason? When we say, when we give what we give, it's not the size of the gift, because I can give all that I own away. And if it wasn't for love that motivated it, whether it's big or small. I mean, when you look at the scripture, Jesus got on the case of the religious leaders and said, you've given all of this and all of this, and you're giving it out of your what? Abundance. And he said, this poor widow woman is giving it out of her need. And boy, he gave her all the accolades. So she gave it out of love. They gave it, who knows why? I mean, he didn't say why they gave it. I think it was to be seen, is really what it was, what he was really getting on their case for. You're given to be seen, and you're giving it out of your abundance. So that's why when you give, you know, don't go around saying how much you gave. You know, you want to say how much you gave, that's fine. You know, do it for a good purpose if you're going to do that. But I say do it from a motive of love. That's when I said the same thing. God could care less what kind of music you listen to. Those that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. I mean, look, you all get hung up on certain kind of music, that's fine. But let it come when you worship. Let you worship from your heart when you worship him. And we understand. I mean, if you went out west, they probably listen to, you know, I know there's a lot of people that have come out of Rhema that go out on they have a cowboy church. Well, let's sit there and sing cowboy songs. That may not minister to you, but it sure ministers to them. See, so let it come from the heart. He doesn't care what kind of music you sing. He's looking at the heart. And he doesn't care how you dress. People get hung up because they dress. In this world, they dress to be seen. Oh, man, look at them suit and them shoes. Well, if that was your motive, it's wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't dress up. I'm not saying you shouldn't look nice. I'm not saying that. But if you're doing it to be seen, that's not the right motive. Because I hear this all the time. We come to church. We want to come to church. Don't get me started on this. Please don't get me started on this, because it rubs my cackles a little bit. Well, we come to church to give God my best. Really? Okay, so when you go home and you're in your jeans and you're in your flip-flops, you're not giving God your best? And you're not a sanitation worker that goes to work and you're in your gritty duds doing work. You don't give God your best? Come on. It has no logic to it to me. And I'm not saying that we don't come and give God our best. I'm not saying that. But when you tie it to dress, I believe the scripture said it's not the plaiting of the hair and all of the outward appearance, but it's a quiet and meek spirit. He's always looking at our heart. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is that the truth? And so that's why when this scripture says here, you can give everything you have, if it's not with a pure motive of love, nada, zip. That means your worship was worth nothing, your giving was worth nothing, what you did amounted to nothing. So God is always looking at our heart, and that's the point in all of this. So that's why, you know, sometimes I just, it affects me that way. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you today, that's why the young kids today are looking for what? Genuineness. Authenticity. That's why you'll hear the kids say, you bunch of hypocrites. Because you say one thing when you come to church and you leave church and you act in another way. Am I saying the truth? So God is looking at the heart, and so is the world, because that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, if you love one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. So in other words, what is he saying? He's saying, if you love from the heart and you express my love towards one another, the world will know. He didn't say because of how you dress and how much you gave and even how you worshiped. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, you come up and dance and kick up the carpet and all of that. People said, they're a bunch of Looney Tuners. Because they dance and shout, but they bicker and bite. They're a bunch of phonies. Isn't it the truth? But you can come in and be as quiet as a church mouse. And they can walk in and sense the love of God in here. And they also could come in and you could be shouting and hollering. And they can sense the love of God. So it's not the shouting. And it's not the dressing. It's how we operate towards one another. In the love of God. And when we don't find that we can, it says here that as we obey, he will empower us to do that. So, I find that when you start to read 1 Corinthians 13, and you read through the 13 verses, sometimes we go, well, I'm doing that, well, okay, verse 7 and 8, I'm not doing too good there. So, you know, don't think you've arrived when you hit all of them, you hit, oh. See, so now maybe you did pretty good reading the King James because you didn't understand anything. And you said, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm not vaunting. I'm not doing this. You don't even know what it means. So you're thinking, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, go read it in another translation. And then you go, oh, I'm not doing too good here. So read it in a translation that you can understand. And then you have some clarity. You understandeth, right? So what I was sharing Sunday helped me a little bit, and we have a few minutes, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, and what I was sharing Sunday, I want to go into all of that, but looking at verse 17 in Ephesians, and of course, we know this particular scripture verse because of Brother Hagin, mainly of just highlighting Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 17, it says that Christ, reading from the King James, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, or you, being rooted and grounded in faith, comma, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and depth, the breadth, the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Some translations say the presence of God. Some say this says the fullness of God. Some say with the nature of God. Some say with God himself. You know, you're filled with him. But this scripture helped me, again, just looking at different translations, being rooted and grounded in what? It didn't say faith, it said love. And some translations, God's word, it says, I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. So love, and this is what got me off on just thinking about the scriptures, when it talked about in Luke, when it says, let me show you a man who does what? Obeys, hears my word and obeys it. And then he goes on to say, this is a person that does what? He digs down deep, and I started thinking, yeah, with what? The roots of your faith. And does what? It builds a foundation on a rock. What's that foundation? Love. It's the love of God. And it can't be shaken. So this love that gets developed in us and that's in us cannot be overrun by the issues of life. It can't. It says, but when you don't build it on a good solid foundation, when the issues of life come, that house is in ruins. Well, let's see. We can go and look at just the world itself, divorce court and everything else. We can see all of the things that go on in life that people are totally shipwrecked in because there's no foundation of the love of God. And so here, and I like this other translations, the Living Bible, it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. So the roots, so what does that say? It says that, yes, when we got born again, love, God's nature came into us. We received a measure of the God kind of faith. But it says here, those, that seed has to grow. And the roots of that seed are going to do what? Grow down into the soil of God's love. So that's why when you see here, faith worketh how? By love. How does that seed grow? If you don't have, when you go over and you look at the sower sows the seed of God's word. And it goes on and it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. And these are likewise they that are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no what? Root. Have no root in themselves. And so endure for a time afterward when affliction and a persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. No foundation. That's what it said in Luke. When the issues of life come, whoosh, swept away. No foundation. No roots. No foundation. So they're swept away. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, do what? Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You cannot serve God and mammon. So this here, and then what does it say? That which is sown on good, or in good ground, the soil of God's love. It says what? Such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth some 30, 60, and 100-fold. So this was exciting to me, that the emphasis on God's love and building this foundation. That's why it's exciting to me that, what is the name of this church? The Redeeming Love Christian Center. Now maybe, you know, a church is made up of people. Maybe we haven't actually exhibited that love to the degree that we should. But this is saying here that as we do, He will empower us to love. Empower us. So we're growing. We're growing in the love of God. We're growing as we do what? He's perfecting the love of God in us as we do what? Obey and act upon it. So this love that we've received, this, we could look at it and say this new covenant, there's one word that stands out. What is that new covenant command? Love. So this love is to govern every facet of our lives. Every facet. Let's go over to 1 John 4 for a moment. 1 John 4. And this takes on, you know, when you look at it in this respect, we're talking about the love of God, it takes on a different light. I think, you know, Pastor Clinton always used to say that. When you look at a diamond and you turn it, it has a different view. You get a different view of that diamond. So 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, or you could say ye are of love, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He, greater is the love of God in me that is in you than he that is in the world. So love in us is greater than anything we'll face in life. Anything. Anything the devil throws our way, he's greater. The love of God is greater. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in what? God, and God in him. So we are born of love, and the love of God is what? Come into us, love is in us, and is greater than any opposition that we may face. The love of God is in us. And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, when you're in a situation and you're being accused of something, sometimes it's hard not to defend yourself, isn't it? That's your first natural instinct. It's what? Self-preservation. But when you know that love is for you, that God is for you, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, he's going to protect you. God is for you and not against you. Let's look at Philippians. Let's back up to the book of Philippians, familiar scripture, chapter 4, verse 19. Well, actually, let's back up. I'm just looking at this. Let's look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, be anxious, right, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts, is your heart again, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. The love of God is greater. And let's look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We don't have a need that love won't supply. He'll supply it. Love will supply it. So we're sometimes we have a need for, you know, people cry out and say, God, I need peace. He'll supply it. Love will supply that. We already have it. Some people say, well, I need love, Lord. I feel like I'm not loved. It says here, God will supply that. The love of God is in you. The peace of God is in you. The joy of God is in you. So we've got to look inside, know that love is in us, and continue to yield to the love of God. And I think that for all of us, we're growing. I believe and I see a greater measure of the love of God in people and just the way they are operating. And I believe that's a measure of your desire to obey God and to please Him. And so that, to me, is exciting. And I believe that pleases God. I do. And so, as we kind of conclude these lessons, let's keep reading 1 Corinthians 13. Let's keep submitting to Him, the love of God. And when we hit tough spots, yield to the love of God. If we miss it, that's what, you know, when the Scripture says that which is not of faith is sin, well, then you've got to have faith in Him or faith in the love of God. And if we're not operating in faith, then we're operating in fear. Love casts out fear. And so if we're operating in faith, then we're pleasing to God. If we're not, then it's sin. And so that just means, okay, I missed it here, and let's fix it. As they say, if we've got a stinky attitude, then let's correct it and fix it. And all of us run into that sometimes. You know, we have, you know, you may not say it's stinky, but maybe it's something. and we all, you know, if you live in this flesh, you know, we need to crucify it and just put it under the blood and begin to operate. You know, I think about the season we just came out of, resurrection. And if something looks dead, what affects it? Resurrection life. I mean, just look in the natural here. We go through the fall, stuff dies and falls off. We go through a period of winter, everything looks bare and dead, but then what happens? Life resurrects those things, and the buds come out, and things start living, and things start popping, right? So it's the same thing. You could have something that's dead in your life, whatever that is, and we begin to have resurrection life begin to affect that which is appearingly dead. I'm always excited when I hear, you know, the family that was here for a while, for many years, and then they relocated out to Broken Arrow and became a part of the Rhema family and ministry. And the young lady that was here, one of their daughters, she had an issue with, you know, a diabetic issue. And she had to wear a pump where she had to have insulin constantly pumped into her to maintain that problem. She started going to Rhema, to the college, was there for a couple of years, 2-3 years, and started, you know, they go from 8:30 to 12:30, so they go 4 hours a day. She started afterwards, after classes dismissed, she would go to the prayer and healing school every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And after 2 years, her pancreas started to just work. Her dad said, it just started to work. Why? Life. Resurrection life came into that body part and resurrected it. She ain't using a pump now. And so she's off. I mean, she's a little firecracker. Right? Am I right about that? She's a little firecracker. Huh? Yeah, she's a little firecracker. She's finished there. I think she's still finishing up some things at ORU and got herself a job, and she's working a job now with her mom. But the point in all of this is that when things don't appear to be working, whether it's a body part or your love, don't dismay. Don't get in all out of sorts and say, ah, this don't work. That's what he said. He said, if you obey me, he said, I will empower you with my what? Life. And empower you to do what? To love. So you could go through and keep working and working, and you're like, huh, this ain't working. Just keep moving in his direction. Keep leaning in that direction. Keep obeying. If you fall, get up. Keep operating. If you fall, get up. Keep moving in that direction. And at some point, life, the love of God, will work and start working in you so that you can love people like he loves. Right? Don't give up. Don't despair. He said, my God shall supply all that you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he'll supply what you need. He'll empower you to love. It's in you. It's in us. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for, as we obey, you will empower us to love. Thank you that your love is in us. Thank you that it's working in us. Thank you that the love of God is far greater than the trials and the issues that we face. Thank you, Father, that this place, the atmosphere of this place, wherever we assemble, whether it's in this room, whether it's in another room, whether it's in another location, this assembly of believers will walk in love towards one another, and the atmosphere will be charged with the love of God, so that when people come in, they will be delivered and healed and set free in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We believe for it. We believe in the love of God. And we thank you that our faith operates in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son to the cross for us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm hopeful. I don't know about you, but I'm hopeful and excited. This is a great year. We're going to see great changes in our community and in the people we interact with. You know, people are, you know, when the scripture talks about Jesus didn't come in this world to condemn, neither should we. You know, the people we interact with, they're doing the best they can. They're in darkness. They're making dumb mistakes. And they're having the fruit thereof of those mistakes. We're not there to bang on them and say, that was a dumb thing to do. They don't know any better. We should be doing what? Loving them. And I believe that we're going to see that more and more in Jesus' name.